As I was preparing the sermon this week, I couldn't get this image out of my head. My father, who looks far more Mediterranean than I do, black hair, full black beard, olive skin. And one of the things that he doesn't share with a lot of Middle Eastern people or Mediterranean people is he's 6'2". And when I went to Malta, I felt like I was the tallest person there. There, Maltese people are notoriously short people. And yet my father was very tall. He's a very imposing figure. I used to have friends come over when I was young, and they were going to stay the night until my dad got home from work. And then they're like, I want to go home. Call my mom. And I could never figure it out. I was like, why? Why is it? And my mom would say, your dad's kind of a scary looking guy. And I didn't realize. And growing up, you know, you always want to be kind of like your father. And I didn't have the hair, I didn't have the body structure. I was like, but maybe I could be tall. Maybe I could be tall. And so I got to 6 feet, and then I just stopped. And that was it. And I was like, okay, that's as good as it's gonna get. So then I had two kids. And the oldest one, my goodness, did he want to be taller than me? He would walk around, he'd walk up to me, and he'd stand up, and he'd like get up on his toes, and he'd be like, almost there. And I'd just like give him a shot in the ribs. I'm like, you're not even close. Our youngest one, he's like, no, I'm going to be short my whole life, and I'm okay with that. And that was, it's really good. And my oldest son, he never did quite get to be 6 feet tall, but I think we're happy. We're happy with the height that we are. And coming to terms with that can be incredibly difficult. It can be hard that when you want to reach a certain level, whatever it might be in your life, and you're like, well, I can't do it. And so that was what I was thinking about while I was reading this week through Romans 10. Most of the chapter, so I'll try and read it quickly. But if you brought a Bible, you know what page it is. If not, it's 5918. It says, Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. I remember when I was very young in the faith, and when I asked questions like, what does it mean to be saved? What do I need to do in order to be saved? And this passage, well, one or two verses, gave me great comfort. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you were incredibly succinct, you could say the entire gospel message is wrapped up in that one verse. You'd have to do a little bit of digging. You'd have to dig to get the meat out of it, but it's all right there. To profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I would guess, I don't want to twist anybody's arm, but I would guess that we could all stand in agreement. We could all agree that yes, Jesus is Lord. We could all say it. I know there are people out there, out in our community and out in the surrounding areas, that they wouldn't even want to say that much. It's like maybe trying to get a Habs fan to say that the Leafs are a better team. They just wouldn't say it. Even to just spit it out, just for the sake of being accepted. But I think that we can agree that most of us in here today would be able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is the gospel message. That is foreshadowed all the way back to the time of Abraham when he was going to sacrifice his son. And his son asked, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide the lamb. The lamb had to be God. He couldn't just provide a single person, because then that person would be pretty puffed up. Like, look at all the good I have done. But it was Jesus Christ who is God. And I think we can all agree, and we can all say that quite easily. But then we get to the second part. The second part is a little bit more difficult. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It sounds good. It sounds really good. And it sounds like something I could try and believe in. Kind of like I could try and believe that I reached 6 feet high, but I never did. I'm 5'11". But it's a whole lot easier to puff myself up, maybe wear some shoes that have a heel on them, and say, look at me, I'm 6 feet. See, we can all say that Jesus is Lord, but do we really believe it? Is it really the truth that resides in our heart? How many people, I'm not trying to call anybody out, and I'm not going to, but how many of us believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Amen. Amen. When was the last time you told somebody? When was the last time that you told somebody that God raised Christ from the dead? They did a survey. This church group did a survey down in the States, and they found that 98% of evangelical Christians had not shared the gospel with anyone outside their family. If we believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we should want to tell everyone. We shouldn't be able to walk into a crowd of people, into a group of people that we know need Jesus Christ, and be silent about the fact that God raises people from the dead. Have you ever been to a funeral and you've looked at that body in the casket and you thought, maybe. Maybe they'll sit up. Maybe you love them so much and you miss them so much that you want them to sit up, but it never happens. But Christ was risen from the dead. He hung on the cross for our sins, and God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that in your heart? Or are you scared that somebody might disagree with what you have to say? Somebody might be scared or confront you on your belief system. We're talking about a salvation issue, and it's not just for the person that needs to hear it. It's for us. It's our own salvation that is at stake here. It's not just the salvation of the person out there that hasn't even heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if we are ashamed or we are unsure that God raised Christ from the dead, do we really believe? Do we believe the gospel message? It's difficult. There's probably a reason that Jesus had 12 apostles and not 5,000. There's a reason that people came to him and they're like, oh, you fed us. You fed us yesterday. We want to be fed again. And Jesus said, no, you're only here because you got food. You're only here for the benefits. You're not really here to do the work, to dig in, to share the message. We all know in Matthew, right before Christ ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, go and make disciples of all the world. Make disciples wherever you go. Make people who are intentionally putting Christ in their life. Be intentional about the interactions that you have. about the love that you share for people. Because you can say one thing and do another. Scripture says that if you tell somebody that, oh, be well, God loves you, but you don't actually do anything for their physical needs, that you're not really putting them first. That you are wrestling with that concept that Christ has been risen from the dead. We're getting very close to Easter here. And we're going to celebrate that God rose Christ from the dead. I keep hearing the words of Paul in my mind that say the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. It's not a foregone conclusion. You have to accept it. You have to surrender to it and allow it to come into you. When the Spirit guides you, you need to accept that guidance. I've driven a bit, and this isn't even a road rage illustration. But I've driven in, and Google Maps, they'll say, no, you better not go that way. There's an accident, and you better get off the highway. And I look at it, and I said, that's ridiculous. I can see up ahead. There's nothing stopping me from getting where I want to go. So I'm going to just keep going. And then I sat in traffic for 2 hours. Because Google was trying to help. It was trying to say, hey, we recognize that up ahead there is an accident. You are going to be waylaid. You are going to be stuck. Take this way. And it seemed ridiculous. And sometimes the Spirit will tell you things that seem ridiculous. And so you say, I'm not doing that. Who will admit that the Spirit has told them something, led them in some way, and they said, I'm not doing that. Come on, it happens all the time. People ask me, they say, why is Jesus taking so long to come back? And every time somebody asks me that, I always say, well, Jesus probably has a plan. And he's waiting for us to say yes to that plan. Jesus wants us to go and make disciples of all the world. He wants us to share his love. And it's not just for their benefit, because if we are not partaking in the mission of God, are we the children of God? We profess that God has a mission. He has a plan. He has a kingdom. And we are subjects in that kingdom. If you had a business, and these were your employees, would you hire, would you give them a raise, or would you release them? We talk about being subjects, but we want to be in charge. We want to make the rules. And when God says, jump, we say, not yet. And it happens all the time. And it happens because we don't believe deep down in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Because if we did, there would be no fear. We would imagine your greatest fear. There is no reason for fear. When God can raise people from the dead, what is there to fear? A diagnosis doesn't mean nearly as much when God can raise the dead. I would encourage you this week. Somebody asked me, because last week we talked about being a beacon. And they said, well, how do we do it? If you believe that God raises people from the dead, if you believe that in your heart, allow that to birth action. Allow that to birth words that come out of your mouth that change people's lives. Share. Share the power of God. Share the Spirit that lives within you, if, in fact, it resides in your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your peace, the mercy that you show towards us. We thank you that the power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that spoke the universe and existence into being, resides within us, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot begin to imagine how or why you chose us. But we are grateful and we are thankful. Lord, we pray that as we surrender to you, that your Spirit would cleanse us, that your Spirit would wash over us, clean out and wash out all the darkness within us, that we may be beacons of light and we may speak with joy and excitement about the resurrection of the dead. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, amen.